Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Biblical Woman Podcast. I'm Kat.
And I'm Nicole.
Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that Nicole and I haven't really discussed before here on the show, but I'm really excited for it. And I think it's a good follow-up from what we talked about in last episode with biblical female empowerment and what that looks like. So today's topic is going to be addressing the myths that surround biblical womanhood.
Yes, I am so excited for this episode and so excited that we have a very special guest joining us today. We have with us Bethany Beal from Girl Defined Ministries.
Yay! I'm so excited. Thank y'all so much for having me on. And I love that you're having this conversation because a lot of people shy away from these topics. So I'm just excited that you're even willing to go here because I feel like this is, you know, this is bold in our day and age. It really is.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, before we get started with our topic though, would you mind just telling us a little bit about Girl Defined Ministries, what you do and just your message?
Yeah. So I actually grew up in a family with 8 kids and 5 of us are girls. And So, you know, growing up with sisters and lots of friends that are female, you know, you're just kind of surrounded by the topics of, you know, everything female, but then growing up in the church, biblical womanhood, all of those sorts of conversations. And so I had just kind of naturally had a passion growing up to invest into minister, like mentor other younger women while also really learning and growing for myself. And so my older sister, Kristen, and I, when we kind of hit our early 20s, we just saw a need for more mentors in the world. And we were like, we're not perfect at all, but we know like being a teen, being a young woman, especially with social media on the rise now and the internet. I mean, I grew up when I was little, I remember dial up internet. I'm 33, you know? So I'm like, things have changed.
Same girl.
Things have changed, you know? And so Kristen and I were like, we really want to do something. I mean, just like y'all, we want to be like, we want to link arms with other women and say, we know there's so much craziness in the world. We know there's so much temptation, so much pressure. We know the Bible is not popular. Being a true, genuine Christian is not the cool thing to do. It can be hard. And so we want to link arms with you and, you know, run towards Christ together, run towards his word, run towards truth, try to understand it together. You know, we're not perfect, but we're trying. So come with us. And so that's kind of how it started. And, you know, God has really just been so gracious and, you know, like kind to us over the past 8 years since it started. So we, you know, have published 5 books with our first one actually is, you know, Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. And crazy enough, you know, when we wrote that, we had no idea where the world was going. And it's just gotten crazier since then. And it's still to this day, like our most popular number one selling book, even, you know, a few years later, because it's just the message is so relevant and women are so hungry to know the truth. So when y'all said you wanted to talk about like misconceptions about biblical womanhood, I was like, yes, because women want to know, you know, and girls want to know, like, what is biblical womanhood actually about? Because I kind of feel like that's something I don't want, you know? So I'm just excited. This is my passion. This is what I love to do. So yeah, just getting to partner with you is a huge privilege.
I just want to say too, that is amazing that God placed that on your heart, that message, that first Girl Defined book, you know, even before all of the cultural stuff that is going on now with the gender identity and confusion. What a way that he was just kind of going before you guys and before all of us just to prepare that message that is so needed.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's why I love that you're willing to have these hard conversations because, you know, even just in the past, you know, several months, literally like on my own personal Instagram account, I have been flagged for hate speech. I've had multiple posts taken down. And it's like I'm on there. They weren't even super controversial things. And I've seen friends who have posted stuff about gender or just a biblical perspective of that literally have their accounts removed on social media. And so it we might be like, well, that's not that big of a deal. You know, like it's just social media, but that can be scary when you're like, this is the world we live in, where if you are outspoken and bold, even to say like God designed men and women and they're equally valuable, but purposely different, you know, just saying that can be, you know, like, you know, opening up a firestorm in your direction. And so it's hard. And so for especially our millennial and Gen Z women that are listening, I feel like we need to remember, hey, I'm not the only one that's believing these truths. I'm not insane. I'm not crazy. Like the Bible is still relevant because we can feel like we're the only one and like we're literally insane and we're losing our minds. And so I think that, you know, having this HubSpot right here on the Biblical Woman podcast is so important because we need, you know, obviously we need Christ most, but he gave us the body. And I think linking arms together, you know, across the world, I'm sure there are people listening from all over. And just to have this encouragement, I think is huge.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad we're talking about this today because it is so important. And I think sometimes, you know, even within Christian circles, there can be a tendency for us to view biblical womanhood as more of an aesthetic rather than a calling upon our lives. I think that's where I want to start our conversation off today, is addressing some of these myths that maybe even exist within Christian circles.
You know, I just want to be totally honest that when I was younger, I was very prideful, which many of us are. And the older I have gotten, the more I'm like, I don't know anything, you know, but the younger I was, the more I'm like, oh, I know exactly what biblical womanhood is. And I'm so high and mighty, you know, and God's like, wow, you really don't know that much. But I can remember being like a teen girl and like digging into all these books and just feeling like I am this good Christian girl. And honestly, I just thought, okay, like I want to follow Jesus. And so that means I'm going to get married. I'm going to have a bunch of kids. I'm going to homeschool them, which are all good things. None of those are bad things. But I had a very prideful perspective because I thought, like, any woman who would want to do anything else besides those things, like, wow, they're not really even like, you know, really wanting to follow Christ. And that sounds so obnoxious and ridiculous to say, but I can remember being like a 14, 15 year old girl and thinking these things, which is so weird and crazy. And it's not even like my parents hammered the stuff down my throat. I just remember being so prideful and thinking like I understood God's interpretation of scripture. And so what's crazy though, is that I had this plan and I thought, this is how I can honor God. And this is what it means. And lo and behold, I had no idea that I wouldn't even get married until 30, which for some people is old and some people think is young. But for me, that was so old. And then after getting married, you know, I'm like, okay, my whole perspective is already being challenged because I'm like, well, if living out biblical womanhood is about getting married and having kids, what about those 10 years of my life from 20 to 30 or 18 to 30 where I wasn't married? Was I not fulfilling God's plan for me? Was I not able to serve him? And so I was already challenged to see like, maybe there is a way to live out your purpose, which is ultimately the core, the goal to glorify God. And circumstances may change, but the purpose remains the same, to live for him. So then I got married about 3.5 years ago. And, you know, my husband and I, I'm like, well, I'm already like 30. So let's just, you know, maybe we'll just try for kids right away. So about seven months in, we end up getting pregnant. And that's been such a sweet and beautiful gift. But even since then, you know, I've wanted to have more children, but we've gone through 3 miscarriages over the past year and, you know, we're seeing a doctor. We don't know what the problem is, but I'm going to tell you that through it all, God has humbled my heart so much through the process, because I look back at this teenage Bethany who thought biblical womanhood is about only checking these boxes and doing these certain things. And here I am at 33, having only been married for, you know, 3.5 years and having one child. And teenage Bethany would have thought, well, you know, how can you honor God? How can you, you know? And so I just want us to remember, like, there can be really good things that God upholds, like marriage, having children, even staying at home. Those can be beautiful things, but if they become idols, if they become everything, if they become the defining marks of what it means to be a woman, I think we've gone completely wrong. Because for every woman, it's like the most important thing is that we are image bearers of God, that we should live every day to glorify him, whether we are single, whether we're married, whether we're able to have children or not. I mean, my sister Chris, she shared very openly about her 10 years of infertility. Her and her husband have not been able to have biological children at all. So if the purpose of biblical womanhood is just about cranking out kids, then she would be, you know, not even in the running. And so it's really important for us to humble ourselves, to take what God instructs us with and say, wow, here are beautiful things that God encourages and that he's designed. But ultimately, every human, man, woman, child, is designed and made to point others to their Savior, to know him. And I think if we get that wrong, then our entire perspective about biblical womanhood is wrong. So whether you're coming from the kind of conservative side that I was coming from and had to unlearn that, or the side where it's like, well, you only can do those things. No, the ultimate purpose is to have a humble heart that says, God, I want to live for you. I want to glorify you in whatever season you have me in. And I want to have open hands. If that means you want me to have many children, wonderful. I will do that. If you want me to be a stay-at-home mom, that's great. If you want me to pursue this specific degree, that's great. But the purpose is to live for him and to point others to him. And so I think if we get that off, then our entire like life's focus will just be completely messed up.
I love all of that. And, you know, you're right. When we do make, you know, whether it's having kids or marriage as a god, you know, or an idol of sorts, like that is not being a biblical mm-hmm. woman in any way, shape, or form. And I'm so glad that you brought that up and that just highlighting that it is not about necessarily doing those things that is what makes somebody biblical or a biblical woman.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I both my husband and I, you know, he comes from a family, there are 7 kids. I come from a family with 8, and those are wonderful, beautiful things. But you know, it's like I said, I'm 33. That's not even like a possibility for me. And just, I don't even know why. And so it's one of those things where we can appreciate and celebrate the different directions that God has for others and say, wow, like I can celebrate that that person had many kids and, you know, chooses to stay home and love their family in that way. I can also celebrate that woman who's struggling with infertility and trying to figure out like, wow, what does my life look like? Cause I thought it was in a certain direction, while also looking in the word and seeing, wow, God did create marriage, this beautiful union. He did create that to be the place where we could raise up and disciple the next generation. You know, all of these good things, we need to celebrate them and champion them, but not allow them to be the bullseye. So it's this fine balance of saying, this is amazing and this is good, but this can't be like everything.
That's such a good answer. And I just want to say thank you for being open and vulnerable and sharing your story. Because I know that that can be hard to do.
So I was going to ask this, I don't know if this will like take us off topic or whatever, but
No, go for it.
Yeah. So I was just going to ask you, Bethany. So in that, those seasons, of both being single in your 20s and, you know, the struggle with, you know, the pregnancies after marriage, like just personally, like what have you learned? What has God shown you about biblical womanhood in those seasons?
Yeah. You know, the season of singleness was, it was hard for me because I really, and I know so many of your listeners are probably in that place too, where they're like, wow, I would love to be in a different place, but I can't control this. I mean, obviously you could force something, but you don't want that. So it's just, it was hard. And I remember, you know, my sister, Kristen, who we obviously started Girl Defined together. We are only like a year and a half apart in age. She had been married for, you know, she got married and was like living her life, moving on. And I just thought like, wait, like we're super close in age. Like we always do everything together. And my man, he's not, you know, there, he's not coming along. I mean, I was so confident that I thought I was going to get married in my early 20s, and you can laugh at me and think I'm absolutely crazy for doing this. Actually, I share this whole story in my newest book, Not Part of the Plan. But when Kristen was wedding dress shopping, I saw my dream dress. I was completely single at the time in my very early 20s. And we're just kind of that sort of family. We're crazy and spontaneous and all of that. So Kristen encouraged me. She was like, you should try that dress on. It's so you, like, it's not me. You should try it on. So I did try it on, and being completely single with no options in sight, I literally bought the dress. And so that's bought my wedding dress completely single in my early 20s, because this is how much I thought that that's like, God is going to give me what I want. And you know, marriage is a good thing. So of course he'll give it to me. So I buy this dress only to have it sitting in the back of my closet for year after year after year, literally collecting dust. And it kind of became this reminder of me like, wow, I had this plan and I had this idea of what I thought biblical womanhood, being a woman who loves the Lord, should look like. But, you know, I've been praying about it. I have been trying to follow God and he's not giving this to me. So it really challenged me to go back to the word and to reevaluate, like, what does it mean to be a Christian, to be a image bearer, to be a woman that lives for the Lord? And is there room for single women in biblical womanhood, you know? Mm-hmm. And so in searching scripture and just seeing the purpose of why God created us, ultimately, I realized that, you know, my purpose, no matter if I'm single or married, is the exact same. My purpose is to live for God, to glorify him and to know him. And throughout life, I realized my circumstances will change. If I were to get married, my circumstances would change, but my heart and my purpose should remain the same, to live for God, to glorify him. That might look different. That might look like having a baby and staying up all night nursing, you know, but I can still do it with a heart that says, God, I want to live for you. And so that took me many years of singleness to learn. And Proverbs 3:5-6 really became an anchor for me during that time. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And you know, it's crazy because our Savior, Jesus, he literally came to earth. You know, he says he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And, you know, Jesus was single. He never got married. He lived and completely fulfilled the will of his Father as a single man. And so that's just encouragement to us as singles that, you know, if marriage was the everything in the earthly sense, then that would have been a part of the story. But ultimately there's a bigger picture, you know, the marriage of Christ and his bride, the church. And so there's a bigger reflection. Even marriage isn't that thing. It's ultimately just a picture of what's to come and what Jesus did for us. And so I think it's so important to kind of step out of this earthly mindset and look at scripture and say, what's the bigger picture going on? There's a bigger love story, and remembering where we fit into that, that we're just here for a little bit and we're just here to tell others about him, and really trusting and following Christ in whatever season is really going to help us to glorify him most. And we want to be faithful in that as women who love God's word, as women who want to live it out, but recognizing it really may not look exactly like we thought it was going to be in the beginning.
That is so good. And I am like super intrigued about this new book you have coming out. That sounds fantastic. And I just love to hear how God has like used your experience in that difficult season in life just to bring about this wonderful message, and just how he's used it to grow you first and foremost, but then to give this message to others. I think that's so encouraging. And as you were talking about that season of singleness and, you know, the example of Christ, you know, being single, I thought of the Apostle Paul as well. I love that, you know, God has given us every kind of example in his word of, you know, Paul being single. Obviously, there's many stories of the women in the Bible who struggled with infertility or barrenness. And I just love that those are included. And, you know, that's on purpose. That's for a reason, you know, to show us that in all of that. One, like you said, our purpose doesn't change. And two, God is our God who hears us and sees us during all of those times.
Well, and there's so many ways to live out, I think, God's design for us. Cause, you know, obviously women, which is controversial to say, but women are the, you know, the only ones we were given, you know, like we were given the ability, the bodily functions needed to nurture life within. And we live in a fallen world. So that doesn't mean that every woman is going to be able to get pregnant, but we know that God did choose women to fulfill that, and to be the ones to bring new life into the world. Obviously it takes a man and a woman and nothing changes that, but women are the ones that get to birth and bring new life. And so even just saying, okay, God, you know, women are the chosen gender to do that. Even if I can't have biological children, how can I nurture those relationships? How can I disciple and invest and have spiritual children of sorts? You know, I mean, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, she's one of my great heroes of the faith. She's still alive, obviously, but she didn't get married till she was, you know, much older, way past the childbearing age, but she has so many spiritual children, people she's invested in over the years, including me. You know, I learned so much from her and seeing my sister, Kristen, you know, she now just in the past year has adopted two sweet boys from Ukraine, which is such a crazy story, but you know, she, seeing her having made so many spiritual children, pouring her life out for others. So just realizing, even if you're like, well, I don't fit into this specific box, when I see, you know, in the Bible, it's talking about, you know, loving your children, think, well, how can I fulfill that with, you know, we're all humans. We all need discipleship, where there are so many young women who could use an older woman. Even if you're like, well, I'm only 20, there could be a 15-year-old who could really use your impact and your discipleship in her life. So don't cut yourself out of the picture just because you feel like you don't fill the normal box. You know, look for ways to live out this design of nurturing and relationships and discipleship and that Titus 2 mindset, even if you don't fit in the typical box.
I was literally just looking up Titus 2. You
said that. We're on the same page.
I know. I'm like, yes, I love that. That is, you know, and even if you do have your own, you know, children, either adopted or biological, there are still, like, I always say, it does not matter. You can come from the best family in the whole world. A kid cannot have too many positive influences, too many godly people in their life pouring into them. So yeah, that is a challenge. I think even for us, you know, who do have kids, you know, that, okay, we still have an even greater, you know, role or responsibility within the church.
Amen.
You know, my kids are 13 and 11, and I just sit back and I think all the time, just how thankful I am for all of the godly adults in their life, both within our family, our friends, and our church family. I am so thankful that they have people other than my husband and myself, you know, to go to and to have these spiritual conversations or to have these examples, you know, of godly relationships. And that is I just can't tell you how grateful I am for that and how important that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I totally agree. And that's why I think, you know, the podcast like you're doing is so important, because as much as in-person relationships are so crucial, you know, just think over the past few years where that was really hard. So having opportunities and just living in a day and age where we do now, I just encourage the listeners to take advantage of the opportunities to grow and to learn and to be mentored by women, even virtually, because that's a huge blessing that hasn't existed, you know, throughout all of time.
You're absolutely right. We need to seek out opportunities for discipleship with each other, because that's an awesome way for us to grow. So moving on, the next biblical myth that I think we need to talk about is this idea that Christian women, you know, we need to be quiet and just quiet, you know, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Now is the time, and I think we are seeing this, you know, within media, within social media, even just everything going on, that Christian women need to be bold. We need to be vocal about our faith, and we need to be courageous for Christ. Now is the time for women to stand up and speak out about our faith.
Mm-hmm. I think it's first realizing, like, you know, just like you said, biblical womanhood is not about being a wimp. It's not about being a doormat. It's not about throwing your brain away and just saying, okay, like, I guess I'm a biblical woman, so I have no guts, no gumption, and no strength. I just like float around brainlessly. You know, I think that it truly, you know, I've had conversations with women who really, really do think that. And I probably thought that myself at one point in time. But I think that if you look at examples in scripture of women, you know, who God has given to us as examples and literally written in his word, which is what he's given to us for wisdom and insight and truth. I mean, you see women like Esther, who was anything but brainless. You know, she was put in such a hard, difficult position, literally putting her life on the line to approach the king unannounced to save the Jewish people, her people. God was calling her to do something literally life-threatening. And you can't do that if you're just a brainless, you know? So that's an incredibly strong woman, but she wasn't about doing her own will and living for herself. It was for a greater purpose of saving God's people, the Jewish people. I mean, Rahab is another beautiful example, because she was a former prostitute that chose to follow the one true God and help the Israelites conquer the city, you know? And so it's amazing to see, like, God doesn't have one, you know, cookie cutter mold that he says, okay, these are the only women that can be used for me and everyone else is out of the picture. I mean, just even in scripture, we see that God, he is a God of grace and forgiveness. And he's saying, yes, even a former prostitute, she is literally going to be upheld as a woman who has chosen to put her, you know, repent of her past and follow me and look at her as an example. She was an incredibly strong woman, and the list could go on. You know, Ruth, I mean, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, being chosen to be potentially killed as well. She didn't know the future. She didn't know what would happen. And so I think as women in our modern day, we need to not view these women in the Bible as like, well, they knew the answer. They knew what was coming. No, they had to have faith. They had to have courage. They had to have strength, because they didn't have the written word of God like we do. Their story wasn't already there and they weren't reading it. You know, it was happening in real time. And so I think it's so important for us to realize, like, God is calling us to be just like them, to be strong, to be bold, to go against the cultural flow. I mean, just think about that. How much easier is it to just go with the flow, to say, yep, that sounds good. You know, like, okay, sex before marriage. Great. Let's all jump on board with that. Okay. Men can be women and women can be men. Great. Let's all do that. You know, like, it's so easy, and you get applauded for going along with whatever the world is saying. But I think that it takes a real guts, real gumption, real strength to stand up to the crowd and say, hey, actually, that's not true. And actually there is a creator, and actually there is a God. And one day we are going to be before him. And there is truth written in scripture that is unchanging. And God did create marriage. And there's a greater purpose. To say all of those things and to believe them, I think, takes such incredible strength. And I truly believe that's why so many give up on it, or don't follow through, or they don't live this out long-term, because it's hard. And so I just want you to know that you can't do this on your own. It does take a ton of strength to live out biblical womanhood, to follow God's word, to live for him. And so you need his strength. So I encourage you to cry out and ask God, like, God, this is hard. It's hard to go against the cultural flow. It's hard to stand up for truth. It's hard to stand up for life, to stand up for marriage. Those things are hard and they're not popular. So please help me. I need your strength. And so I just encourage you as you're listening to recognize that, like, you don't have the strength in and of yourself. No man, woman, nobody does. We need God's strength to help us, you know, stand up to the culture, stand up to the cultural flow. And if we don't have Christ, we're going to be swept away. So I think it's so important that we're in the word, that we're listening to truth, that we're linking arms with other sisters in Christ. Because I think it takes a ton of boldness to live out biblical womanhood.
Amen. To all of that. Oh, I love all of those examples that you brought out from God's word. And I was flipping to Proverbs 31. I know that's like the, like, you know, the chapter that everybody, you know, knows so famously, but I love, especially, you know, verses 16 and 17, you know, you talk about a woman who is wise, smart, strong, you know, when it says she considers a field and buys it out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Like, this girl is buff is what that tells me. And then, like in verse 25, it says she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And so I just love those words of like strength. The word tells us, or the Bible tells us, you know, that she is strong and like physically, and she is smart and that she does have this courage. And so I'm so happy that we're talking about this and having a godly biblical role does not mean, as you said, that you throw your brain away and that you aren't smart and that you don't learn and study and have critical thinking abilities, right? That you don't let your voice be known, right? Yeah. Like that is not what it means to, to be quiet, you know? So I just love that we're talking about that.
All of those are amazing examples. And I think the thing that stands out to me with all of these women is that, you know, when we look at their lives, they had to surrender everything. You know, they had to put Christ at the very center of their life and to give him absolutely everything.
That's huge. And that was another one of those myths that we were going to bring up, right?
When I think about that and I think about the day and age that we live in and just, you know, you hear things all the time about like my happiness being the most important thing or my truth, being, you know, like that being a thing. And it's just, it's hard because you really see that selfishly, pridefully. We all want to be the center of our world. We all want ourselves to be our number one, you know, and in our sinful flesh, we live for self. And even as Christian women, we are regularly fighting to put God back on the throne because we want to be like all about us, you know, but ultimately in scripture, we are never commanded to be the number one. You know, we are not God. We did not create ourselves. The created shouldn't worship the created. You know, we should worship the creator and worship the savior, worship the one who is actually worthy of all worship. And so I think that you know, we can get so caught up on like, well, biblical womanhood and what about this and what about that? And I think it's important to discuss that. But if we don't understand that life is not about us and life is about living truly for God and living ultimately for him and pointing others to him, like that's ultimately what we were made for. And if that's the only thing you take away from this episode, that would be huge because we get more confused. We get more like lost. We get more just insecure and just like confused about our identity when we try to find it within, when we look to self. And so I think that's why there are so many identity issues in our day and age, because we're just looking more inward, more inward, more inward, and we're literally destroying ourselves. And so it sounds so counterintuitive to say, be less about self and you'll actually have more confidence and you'll have more purpose and you'll have more identity, but it's true because that's the way God designed it. That's what he created us to do, is to be worshipers, not of self, but of God. So ultimately, when you boil it all down at the end of the day, your womanhood is not about you. Your womanhood is ultimately about living for the glory of God. And there's actually a verse in 2 Corinthians, my mentor has been really, you know, encouraging me to think on this, but it talks about whether I'm at at home or away, whether I'm here on earth or with the Lord, my aim should be to please the Lord. And so every day I've been waking up and saying, okay, God, today, how can I make it my aim to please you, to live for you? Because that's ultimately what I was made to do. And so I just encourage you, as you think about your day, like, who are you living for? Are you living for yourself? Are you living to make your name great? Are you living to make yourself feel good ultimately? Or are you living to glorify God, to live for him? Are you waking up and saying, how can I please the Lord today? How can I point others to him? How can I love selflessly like he loves? And so I think we need to remember that ultimately our womanhood isn't about us. It's about Christ. And I think that is where true strength and courage and boldness comes from to be a godly woman in our day and age.
Amen. Oh my gosh. Yes. Jesus tells us to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves and follow him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Satan is the father of lies. And so he is going to try to sell, which he has done successfully in this world, to sell the message of, no, life is about you. You do you, you do what makes you happy, you know? And I think literally like the satanic motto truly, isn't it that phrase, do what thou wilt. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard that? Like, yeah. And like, if you look at, most of what is sold to women, especially what is marketed to women, is really about, putting yourself first and make you happy first. You have to make you happy before you make others happy, like that's how it's sold. And ooh, that's a lie as old as the Garden of Eden.
Oh yeah. Well, and I think of just this mindset of like, you are, like boss babe, you're the queen, and we literally look at it like queen babe. Oh my goodness. I want to be like her. And it's like, and we see the magazine, like world's most 100 beautiful women. And it's like, that's, and we just think, we really do often think like, that's it. Like if I could just have that following, if I could just like look like her, if I could just be like that queen, oh my goodness, then I would have arrived. But we talk about this story in Girl Defined, our book, but I think of, Marilyn Monroe, and, we don't know 100% what happened in the end, but it seems as if she took her own life. And she was one of the most gorgeous, had everything the world could offer, all the money, all the guys, all the looks, is still upheld as like, this is what it means to be a woman. And even though we can look back and see that not only was there abuse and harm done to her, but she also just lived a tragic life. But from the outside, like I was in Hollywood a few years ago, and it's like, she is upheld as like, this is what you want. Chase after this, then you will be happy. But we don't like to talk about the reality. Well, what actually happened, And so it's like, we're living in this crazy cycle as women where it's like, okay, this is, if you just have all the looks, all the guys, all the success, then you'll be happy. But we keep seeing it happen and there's not happiness. There's not joy, but we keep saying, maybe if I do it, then it'll really work. And so it's like, we just need to get out of this insanity, loop and say, no, something isn't working. Like no amount of success, no amount of guys, no amount of looks, no amount of, mind-blowing sex can ultimately lead to that satisfaction that we can only find in Christ. And so we have to take a step back and be honest about the reality of, where that life can ultimately lead. Yes, there can be some temporal happiness, but even if you got that all, when you die, what is that going to give you? What is that going to leave you with? So I just think we need to get more honest about the reality of what we're being told, from magazines and social media.
Absolutely. What does it profit you to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul?
Exactly.
I'm so glad we talked about this because, being a biblical woman, we have to find our identity in Christ. And being a biblical woman, it can be challenging, but knowing exactly what it is and who we are called to be can help us live a life that is pleasing to God. So I'm really thankful that we were able to talk about this.
It's so true. I'm so grateful that we had this conversation. And, this may be brand new for someone listening, like, wow, I've never heard this before. And I'm so glad that y'all are talking about this, on the Biblical Woman podcast. And I just want to encourage you, like we are here at Girl Defined to link arms as well. We have tons of free resources at girldefined.com. And I just encourage you, like, don't just listen to this one episode, like take action steps, dig in, open up your Bible for yourself, go to the book of Proverbs, go to Proverbs 31, like we mentioned, go to Titus 2, go to the beginning when God created the world in Genesis 1 and 2. And, just ask yourself, like, what was God, what was he doing? Like, let me think, how should this impact my life? How should this change me? So I just encourage you as you're listening to allow this to just be an initial step, not the ending place.
Yeah. If you want to tell us more about, I know you mentioned your website, but where we can find your books, or if you guys have a podcast, or just anything else that you want our listeners to know about.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, we'd love to link arms and just help encourage you. We're on all the social medias. We're on YouTube and we have a podcast. Everything is Girl Defined. Our podcast is The Girl Defined Show. And you can find all of our books on our website, girldefined.com. The one that I would, especially with this conversation, I would really encourage you to dig in to our book, Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. If you want to take a deep dive into what are the truths about biblical womanhood? What are the lies? How can I really understand it? How can I live it out in this modern day? What does that look like in the 21st century, you know, to live out biblical womanhood? Our book, Girl Defined, will really equip you. It has free questions and study guide within it to help you really grow in your understanding of what it means to be a biblical woman. So that would be my number one recommendation, would be to read Girl Defined as kind of like a next step to this conversation.
And it does have a really pretty cover. The cover is very beautiful.
Thank you.
I've got it ordered. I can't wait.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, this has been such an encouraging conversation. And because it really is refreshing just to be able to have these kinds of conversations with like-minded sisters in Christ. And I think sometimes it is easy to feel like Elijah, you know, how he felt. Yes. He's like, God, I'm the only one left, you know, of all your prophets. And God's like, no, actually you're not, you know, so sometimes we feel like that. But then when we have, you know, these kinds of conversations, it just reminds us like, okay, we are not alone. God has equipped us with the body of Christ, and there will always be a remnant of his church and of his followers. And that just gives me great hope and encouragement.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm thankful that y'all invited me on. Thank you so much for just giving me the opportunity. I mean, this is such a passion on my heart. And so I'm just really grateful to get to partner with you all in this way.
Yes. Thank you so much, Bethany. It's been such an honor to have you and to talk about this. Because I know you guys wrote the book, Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. You wrote that years ago, but I really think like all of those issues are becoming center stage right now with everything that's just going on in the world. So I'm so grateful to you and to your ministry for talking about this with us, because I know that all of this is going to be a blessing for others.
But yeah, we could close out with Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.